Amen. Are you ready to receive today?
All right. I think so.
I can't hear. Oh, that's right.
You're not going to be able to hear.
Oh, I was wondering where the hallelujah choir was.
Okay. Yeah. They're all muted, so you can't hear them.
Yeah, well, Jesus is going to do some great and mighty things in your life.
Yes.
And 2,000 years ago, all those promises were made. I was looking down instead of up. But 2,000 years ago, all these promises the Lord made to us, and yet we've never received them because we just briefly read through it, and it's this sounds good. Yeah, this is, I'll quote it, but it never becomes alive in your spirit. And until that, the Word of God becomes alive in your spirit, those things don't mean anything. And, you know, what's the royal commandment? That's to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and your spirit. And that's something, unless we do that, the presence of God is not going to live inside of you with you feeling his presence. Because God is a God of love. He's not a God of convenience.
And oh boy,
when you love him with all your heart, what you've done is you've opened your heart 100% for him to come in. See, he can only take the part of your heart that you love him with. If you love him to 10%, that's all you get. But when you love him with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and spirit, you fulfilled the law of the kingdom of heaven. Because when you go to heaven, everybody in heaven loves him with all their heart, mind, soul, and spirit. In heaven, it's a celebration that never ends. See, we have a 4th of July right now, but come July 5th, we forget it. But in heaven, that celebration is for eternity. A billion years from now, you're going to be jumping for joy. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says whatever's bound in heaven, you can bind on earth, and whatever's loosed in heaven, you can loose on earth.
Yes.
And when you have that love of God in your heart completely, you're in total agreement with heaven, because all of heaven is the love of God, and God is love, and there is no darkness in him. Now, I'm not talking about an earthly love to where, you know, I love you, and you know, that's, I'm talking about the love of Jesus. Because when your heart has his love, and the Bible says, by this they'll know you're my disciples, by the love you have for one another. But I'm talking about it's God's love that's pouring through you, and faith works by love. Love covers a multitude of sins. When you start operating in the love of God, that river of life comes out, and you're walking in the miraculous. Wherever you go, things happen. I mean, plants that are dying come to life. Animals, whatever it be in your life, comes to life. And that's where we have to be. You know, we read scriptures where, you know, but without faith it's impossible to please God. First you have to believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who seek him. But are we really seeking him? Because when you love him with all your heart, you're seeking him with all your heart. Every day you wake up and he's part of your life. You're not alone. He's living inside of you. And without you loving him, he can't reside inside your heart. You have to understand that you have to create that environment for where Jesus is. Just like a fish has to be in water, Jesus has to be in your heart with love. If there isn't any love in your heart, he's not there. And I'm sharing again, it's not a worldly love. You know, I love you, you love me. It's the God kind of love. And that's why he created us, is for us to love him, to fellowship with him.
Yes.
And when you have that in your life, your life will change forever. And I don't care wherever you are. You look at Paul and Silas when he was in prison. It was the love of God that consumed him, and they started singing praises to the Lord. That it was that love. No matter they were facing death, getting their heads chopped off, whatever it be. But it was that love. And I personally think, in my own opinion, is that they felt they were going to have their heads chopped off, and they were already getting prepared for that love feast in heaven. But as they were praying that love, the power of God came down. But can you imagine if they were going, woe's me, and then getting into a battle with the devil, and then trying to blame everybody? They probably would have lost their heads. But this is what we have to do. And that's what the Bible says. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. We read that, but how many of us really cast all our cares? And what the Lord showed me years ago, he gave me the scripture, the righteous cry out, and that's Psalms 34. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them and delivers them out of all their troubles. He said, my children should cry out to me all the time. I give everything to the Lord. If my battery in the car is low, I say, thank you, Jesus. You're gonna fix this. You're going to give me the answer. If whatever it be, if my tire's low, I say, thank you, Jesus, for showing me the tire's low. But I've learned to always acknowledge him, and I've learned to have that love affair with him. And that's what Jesus expects us to do. Yes. You see, when people become independent and self-seeking, and they don't realize it, but what you're saying, Jesus, I don't need you. I could do it on my own. Can you imagine if a loved one told you that? I don't need you. I could do it on my own. But that's what we do as Christians. You know, we don't follow what his word says. We don't walk in that love of God. We're walking in everything but the love of God. You know, you go on into a restaurant on a Sunday, and you hear the Christians all talking. They're all backstabbing and just bad-mouthing. And you think, gosh, before I became saved, I avoided the restaurants on Sundays because I've never seen such meanness and nastiness. And their faces were mean and nasty. But you want to get around the happy bunch. And the happy bunch is where people are filled with the Word of God, filled with the Spirit, and the love of Jesus is flowing through them. And when it is, you want to jump in that river with them and flow in that love of God. And this is the problem we're having nowadays. We get so consumed with the cares of this life that we forget who Jesus is. And you could be at the point of death like John. They boiled him in oil, and he was still praising God. Because no matter how bad things are, Jesus is still inside of you, and he loves you, and you love him. And when you love him, you've given him permission to intervene in your life. And no matter what it is, you know, I've been around, you know, when you have a ministry like mine, I'm around sick people, I'm praying for sick people. I don't get sick because the love of God is covering me. See, that sickness can't live in that presence. Death can't live in that presence. The devil can't live in that presence. We forget that. And the love of God is the blood of Jesus also, because when he shed his blood for us, it was out of his love. And no demonic power, no sickness can live in the presence of God's love.
Yes.
And that's something that the devil doesn't want the church to know. He wants us to think, oh, I'm anointed, and I'm so filled with the boldness of God, and I, me, I, instead of Jesus, I thank you. But Jesus told me to tell the church to cry out. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him. And when you cry out, help me, Jesus, he's there. He'll never leave nor forsake you. But how many of us call out to Jesus until the situation is so bad that it can't even be repaired? I call out to him in the beginning. Every day I call out to him. I don't care what it is. If even drinking my cup of coffee, if it's too hot, I'll say, thank you, Jesus. Not thanking him that I'm burning my tongue. Thanking him that I have coffee to drink. Thanking him that I can feel for warning me with that the coffee's hot. But I thank him all the time, and I cry out to him all the time. I don't try to do things myself. And that's what we make that mistake. If you want to learn that revelation that I'm sharing with you, look at King David as he walked through the valley and shadow of death in the 23rd Psalm. You'd never seen him worry about what I can do or how can I do it. I'm not smart enough. I'm not great enough. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If it was good enough for King David, who was a mighty, mighty man of God, it's good enough for you. And I walked through the valley of shadow of death. He didn't care because all of his faith was in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
We're not at that point, the modern church world. But you talk to people in the 20s and the 30s and back in the 40s, and unfortunately, when the great teaching movement came out in the 60s, it destroyed everything. Because now we got theology, people's opinions, people's everything, instead of getting right back in the Word of God and believing the Word of God. But back then, people were sick. They'd go to church. You hear me? They went to the church. They didn't go to their the urgent care. And they'd sit on the pew and just thank the Lord until they were healed. Isn't that good news? Think about it. But the teaching movement came, and you had all these teachers just teaching all this nonsense instead of just the flat, plain Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word of God is alive. When you have the Word of God inside of you, it's alive. You have to remember, the letter kills. You know, I could read something some theologist or theologian, or I call a theologist a theologian who thinks he's a psychiatrist, but a theologian. You know, they're giving you their opinion. I don't need anyone's opinion. I just want what the Word of God says, because that's the contract. If you go before a judge, he'll say, where's your evidence?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jesus will say. What does my word say? You'll say, but Brother Refrigerator said this and that. He said, what does my word say?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's important. We've got to get back into the Word of God. Amen. And we make fun of people, holy rollers, you know, and all these other things, and right-wing Christian and all that. You know what? I don't care what they say. I want to be what the Word of God says.
Amen.
Because Jesus will back it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. And you see now in the news that the mainline churches are down 50%. A lot of them are closing churches down and closing doors down. Why? Because they weren't standing on the Word of God. They were standing on someone's theology, loving the world, being accepted by the world. You know, the Bible tells you that you're not of this world. You're of Jesus. And when things get tough, they're not going to look for the world. The world's already failed. They're going to look for people of God.
Yes.
People that offer hope and offer life.
Mm-hmm.
And John 10:10, I've come to give life and give it more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Thank you, Lord.
He came to give you life. He didn't come to give you misery or, you know, survival. He came to give you life and give it more abundantly. And the
yes.
reason why is when the world sees you're having that abundant life, that you're walking with a smile on your face instead of a frown, and you're walking light-footed and happy, the world wants what you have. And that's what Jesus told me. He said, let people see what you have is what they want.
Yeah.
And that's the important part. And this is what the Lord's wanting the modern church world to do. We've become lukewarm. Some of people actually become freezing cold. But the Bible says, I wish you were hot and I wish you were cold in the book of Revelations, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out. Think about it. How would you like to stand before Jesus and say, I'm going to vomit you out?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Think about it. You stand before Jesus and he says, over 50 people died and went to hell because you were too self-centered on your own life and never told them about me. See, when you love Jesus with all your heart, you want all the world to know it. When you love someone, you don't hide it. You just tell everyone. And the love of God is the life of God. And when you have the life of God coming out of you, life comes. I go around wild animals. I have all this. You know, wherever I go, people say it's so peaceful here. And animals come I say animals because animals live on instinct. But they have that instinct. They know the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
I go in places and people, you know, I hear stories about how rotten, nasty people are. But when you have the presence of God around you, it brings peace to people wherever you go. And that's important. See, if you have the presence of the world around you, you're going to draw the world. You know, like attracts like. If you're a murderer, you're going to other murderers will be around you. If you're a thief, there's an honor amongst thieves. They all come around you. But when you have the love of God and Jesus around you, Jesus, it's like a magnet. Other people who love Jesus will be around you. So you say, I don't have any friends, or I'm living in a world where everything is corrupt and everybody's trying to rip me off. Well, maybe you're drinking out of the wrong well, because you are what you eat. And if you're eating the Word of God and the love of God and the life of God will flow through you. But if you're eating the things of this world, that's what's going to flow through you, and that's what's going to be attracted to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always been amazed. I find somebody who's either a drug addict or alcoholic or homosexual, whatever. They can go into a strange town and within 10, 15 minutes find whatever they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
That's supernatural. That's the devil. Like attracts like. Wherever I go into a town, I want to be attracted to the people of God and the things of Jesus, or yes, the things that Jesus has for me. So if your life is around people that aren't very good and people that aren't very nice, what well are you drinking out of? What are you eating?
Mm-hmm.
You could eat. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When he says lives, he's talking about the life of Jesus inside of you. He's talking about life. The
yes,
very life and essence of heaven coming out of you. You're not going to get it if you're not eating the Word of God. You say, well, I'm a good person and I do this and do that. It doesn't matter. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. How could you know who Jesus is if you don't get into the Word?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know what the promises are? That's why we have the Word of God. It wasn't given just so a decoration. It was given to build your faith and trust in Jesus. To know no matter what the circumstance, what would Jesus have you do? And I'm sharing again. He told me to tell the people, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them. We don't cry out to him. As a church, we sit there and try to figure it out. I get people whose marriages are shot or relationships. They go to a counselor. Who in the world anointed the counselor? Think about it. Who made the counselor so knowledgeable he's going to change things? Usually you always read about these people writing marriage books or counseling books. They end up getting divorced and committing suicide. Come on. Why would you go to a counselor or a psychologist when you have the great physician, Jesus Christ?
Amen.
And you come to him for prayer. That Jesus said the Holy Spirit will be your teacher, your intercessor. He'll be your spirit of truth. That's where your answer comes from. It comes from God. It doesn't come from the things of this world. I've never met anybody who's ever been cured by a psychologist. Matter of fact, there is no record of anyone ever being cured by a psychiatrist. All they do is give you drugs. But you can be cured by Jesus. I can
yes,
tell you in my own life, when I was born again, the old person passed away, and
yeah,
I became a new creation,
mm-hmm,
creature. And that the things that I did back then would horrify you. I didn't need counseling, I needed Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And as a Christian, you need the Holy Spirit. And that's where our help comes from. It doesn't
yes,
come from somebody sitting there and charging you $200 an hour. Come on. If it was that good, they'd give it to you for free. Isn't that true? So I just want to encourage you, when you get into the Word, the Bible says that the entrance of your Word brings light. Most of us are walking in darkness. You know, when you walk in darkness, you don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're doing. You have no idea where you're at. And you don't know what every step you take may take be the last step. You may step in a hole, maybe a big old snake coiled up you're about to step on. You don't know. But when the entrance of the Word comes in your life, it gives light. All of a sudden you see and you know everything you're going to do. Isn't that good news? That's what
yes,
the Bible said. Jesus said, preach
Amen,
the gospel. But we don't hear it anymore. All we hear is all this techniques and formulas and everything else. And yet people are still suffering. But when you get the Word of God inside of you and the love of God, when you have that love, you're going to want to know everything about him. You want to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know who he is. You want to know what makes him happy. And Jesus told me something that shocked me. He said, son, if the children of God would only know that the angels around them have to turn their head in shame when they see what they're doing. Think about it. You know, there are angels of God around you. How many times have those angels had to turn their head in shame? I know we're being watched, not only by God Almighty, but by the angels of God. And when you love Jesus with all your heart, you're not going to do anything to disappoint him. And if you do by accident, you're forgiven if you repent with sorrow in your heart. But your life changes because now you're living your life through Jesus and for Jesus instead of yourself. And that's where boldness comes to do the things of God. See, mm-hmm. You can tell if somebody is filled with the Spirit of God by the boldness. Because the boldness is you're releasing that river of life to people. It's not you you're releasing, it's Jesus. See, yeah. If it was you, there wouldn't be a boldness. You wouldn't be sure of like saying the right thing, doing the right thing. But it's that boldness. And that's where we need to be. Be bold in the power of the Lord is what Ephesians says. And be strong in the power of the Lord, not in your own power. Nowhere in the Bible is it safe for you to be great in your own power, be strong. Everything is through Jesus. And the reason why we have so many meek and people that are hurting is because they're trying to be strong in their own power instead of being strong in the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that we realize that.
Amen.
Because if you don't, you're destitute. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord's your strength. If you don't have joy, you're a weakling. And where does the joy come from? Knowing that he's with me. People say, why do you smile all the time? I say, because I know Jesus is with me and inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't I? If I walked around with a sad face, then Jesus wouldn't be in me, would he? But it's the presence of Jesus inside of me. It's making me smile. And that's where we need to be. You know, some people smile, if you turn them upside down, it looks like a smile, but if you put them right side up, it's a frown. Well, I'm talking about the life of Jesus coming through you. And you as a born-again Christian can change your life today and get that love affair. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind and all your soul, your spirit. Forget yourself. You do that and everything in your life will start to work. It's like a radio station. God is love. And you turn on to that frequency until you finally reach it. You get all this other nonsense. And all of a sudden, that's the radio station. The love of God is coming through you. And that's what changes your life. And I want to encourage you today. Don't just say, oh, that was good preaching, brother. That gets me mad when I hear that. I want to hear someone say, you changed my life. You gave me that what I've been looking for all these years. That's what I want to hear. Because Jesus is the one. No man's mm-hmm. going to give it to you. No man.
Mm-hmm.
No psychologist. None of this. You know, not anything on the TV or anything on the radio. If it's not Jesus, it's not eternal. The Word of God is going to last forever. All these other people have long gone. All their theories and doctrines are gone. But Jesus' doctrines is for eternity. Which one are you going to choose? You know, you judge something by its fruit. If the person was telling you, I got the secret of life, and he's dead, he didn't have the secret.
Mm-hmm.
But the Word of God is alive, and Jesus is alive.
Yeah.
And that's important. He said in John 6:63, my words are spirit. And their life. Corinthians says the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. The words of God are spirit. So when you read it and feed on it, mm-hmm. it's those words are alive. You may not know this, but everything that your brain receives is stored in there. You could put someone under hypnosis, and I'm not telling you hypnosis is of God or not. I don't get into that. It may be if it's for good medical purpose to help you, but not to make you bark like a dog and give all your money away. But I'm saying they can regress someone back to 2 years old, and they can remember everything. So as you feed on the Word of God, it's inside your subconscious. It's inside your spirit. Have you ever talked to someone and all these scriptures come out and you think, where did they come from? It's in there. Man doesn't live by bread alone. But as you feed on it, it's alive. Every word of God is alive. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, you go to a lot of churches and they got strobe lights, fog machines. I wouldn't know if it was an acid rock festival going on or anything. Everyone's got earplugs. I mean, does that make sense to go to listen to music with earplugs? But the Word of God brings peace. You don't need earplugs. The Word of God brings life and it brings hope. And that's where the power of God will come into your life. It doesn't come in with someone screaming and singing that sounds like they're in a torture chamber. It comes from the Word of God in his life. And the Word of God is your instruction manual. If you want to be successful and be full of joy and have all those around you successful, the Word of God, the instruction manual is right here. And if you'll follow it, it'll happen. And if you listen to some of these people, well, the Hebrew, the Greek, and the... I don't listen to all that. Because I could read the Bible, and the Holy Spirit is your teacher. Mm-hmm. He'll reveal it. When I read the Word of God, I see... It's like watching a movie when I read it. And it's even Jesus saying, man doesn't live by bread alone. I can see him on the mountain, and the devil there with his jaw hanging when Jesus said, it is written! Do you realize what that's a scripture you should use all day long? You know, the devil says you're going to fail or this is good. You say, it is written. Man doesn't live by bread alone. And when you do it, your life will change. And I'm being honest with you. I've seen creative miracles and things, dead people come back to life. I've seen all through all these years, I've watched people, deformed babies getting healed. I mean, I can go on and on and on, and it is written. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them. Amen. Are we crying out to Jesus today? Are we? Or we're mad because someone done us wrong? Because if you're mad that someone done you wrong, you're not crying out to Jesus. I just want to share this. I was at Motor Vehicle one day, and it was a long line. I had to register a utility trailer I just bought, and I was there like 2 hours. It seems like everybody's got to tell their vacation plans and how their kids are doing to the clerk, and you're sitting there going, dear Lord, you know, why don't they just work? It's like being in a supermarket, and they go on and on and on. But anyway, I'm there, and after all those hours, 2 hours, finally, I went up to the clerk, and she looked at my document and said, this is wrong. You're trying to pull a fast one. Don't fool me. You don't come in here trying to trick the government and all this. And I said, dear Lord, I've been here all this time. And my paperwork was right, I thought, but apparently it was wrong. And she just laid into me. And I said, dear Jesus, what do I do? He said, just project my love. Just look at her and project my love. Don't say a word. And just project it. You know, out of your belly will flow a river of life. And I projected. I imagine it was flowing through me. And then she stopped. Almost like she was hit by a lightning bolt. And she said, you know, I'm going to help you. I don't know why. But I'm going to help you. I'll just change the paperwork and you'll be on your way. And I've done this with a policeman. You get stopped for speeding. Same thing. Project the love of God. And they'll say, you know, I don't even know what the word grace means, but I'm going to give you grace and let you go. So I'm just sharing with you, you have that. When you're so filled with the Spirit of God, it flows out of you wherever you go. And the Holy Spirit will reveal all things to you. And if you'll, when you meditate on the Word of God, that's what meditating is. It's not just sitting there repeating it over and over and over again. You ever have someone come up to you and they want to pray for you and it's like a machine gun? Oh, 1 John says this and this and that. And you think, dear God, that letter's killing me. But when you're looking at the Word of God, meditating, it becomes a video inside. You're reading it. When Jesus was walking on water, I could feel the wind blowing in my face. I could smell the ocean. That's what meditation does, because it's living that Word. You're tapping into that life of that Word. I could see it when Jesus was on the cross. You know, when the Bible says, by his stripes you are healed, we're forgetting. It's the blood of Jesus. Every stripe produced the blood of Jesus. And you could see it. And all of heaven rejoicing when he said, it's finished. So I want to encourage you today. You are what you eat. And you are what you think. If you're thinking about Jesus, it'll reproduce in your life. If you're thinking about your troubles, that's what'll happen in your life. You are what you eat and what you're looking at. If you're looking at disaster, that's what you are. But if you're looking at life, that's what you'll be. I've been in foreign countries and they come running up to you because they see life. And Romans, the book of Romans says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel. How beautiful are your feet today? So I just want to pray, Heavenly Father, if I've said anything that's not of you, quicken in their heart. But if it is of you, bring life to the hearers. Let that explode within them and let it be permanently fixated in their spirit and mind and body.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, for those that are crying out right now, they've lost their hope. Bring that love affair back into them. Bring that first love. Give them that revelation of the first love they had of you when they first were saved. The joy when they first received you. Flood them now, Lord Jesus. Give them the life of God to flow through them. Lord Jesus, give them a vision of heaven and a vision of you in Jesus' name. Well, I had a good time. I think I preached myself happy and I feel good.
Amen.
And I hope I blessed you.
Amen.
And I've been looking at this light while I'm all the time. You have to look at a light. So if you see me squinting, I'm not used to looking into a mechanical light. But Jesus is... Just remember this, that Jesus does love you. The world may hate you, but Jesus loves you. And that's all that matters. The world won't be here in 100 years, but Jesus will. And in 100 years from now, you'll be jumping in joy in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we're going to receive communion in just a few minutes, but does anyone... You got a particular prayer request that you'd like us to agree with you in prayer for? Or Brother Sam, is there a need in your body? You particularly, you stirred here as you heard the words of life given forth right here this morning, and you want agreement in prayer because we're going to pray for you. Anyone at all? Anyone at all?
Elise wants agreement in prayer.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I have a...
Okay.
I can't hear.
Can you speak up, brother? Because we can't hear you.
Yeah.
I think they just got disconnected.
Yeah.
Okay,
he's breaking up.
Can you hear me?
No, you're breaking up. Just
tell him to stand by your window. Hello?
I just need a prayer request. I had COVID and I lost my sense of smell and I can't taste anything. And I'd like to get that back.
Okay.
Well,
Okay.
You're breaking up quite a bit, so I'm going to ask you right now, just say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my healer. And I thank you in advance.
And I thank you in advance
for my healing. I'm going to pray. You've been under a lot of stress, and you've been very discouraged. And right now, before I even pray for you, you need to just cry out and say, Lord Jesus, help me.
Lord Jesus, help me.
And the reason why you're discouraged is you're focused on all those things around you rather than Jesus. See, you can't see Jesus as a drive-through window. You got to live through him, not just when you need him. And that's why you're discouraged. So I want you, from this time on, to just be thanking him, praising him. Whenever you're discouraged, praise him, because the joy of the Lord will become your strength. And the Bible tells you that a cheerful heart is medicine.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you become discouraged like you have been, you've been looking at yourself and your life, there's no medicine there. It's just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So after I pray for you, I want you to just tell Jesus how much you love him, but have a cheerful heart. And you'll be healed instantly. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you in advance for your creative miracle.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. That you have more than COVID going on in your body. I see something else. But Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I release your living power by the authority in the name and blood of Jesus. I say, body, be made whole and well, be healed in the name of Jesus. And you lying demon that's trying to discourage, depress, and to steal the joy of the Lord out of him, go from him, and you cannot return. Ministering angels surround him in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, touch his heart right now. Jesus, Jesus' name, be free.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
I want you to smile all day long and just laugh. Even if you don't feel like laughing, laugh the fact that you're still alive. Just laugh. And the moment you do, the joy of the Lord will rise up. You got to break that band that the devil put in. There's been a band of oppression. It's been around you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for doing that. Glory to God. Amen. Thanksgiving is so important. Thanking the Lord ahead of time. Thanking him in the midst of the situation. Whatever you're going through, continuing to praise him. Because the devil doesn't want us to praise him. The devil doesn't want you or me or any other of his children, God's children, to praise God. But when we're in the midst, like Brother Sam was sharing earlier about Paul and Silas, they were so focused on Jesus and their voices were so loud, the prisoners heard them, that there was a great earthquake that took place. And God did that. They were so focused on Jesus, and here they are at virtually the point of death. And they praised God, and God delivered them. And as a result, that Philippian jailer and his house got saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we have the power of God and the ability of God to release in our life. So praise God for what he promised and watch what God will do. Amen.
Elise, do you have a testimony?
Are you talking to me, sweetheart?
Yes, sweetheart. I'm the minister. You.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, what's going on here? Was this a dating site? But what? No. What did Jesus do?
Embarrassed
for you?
Behind.
For those that
Sam,
don't know, that's my wife.
I can tell a testimony every day that Jesus Christ lives in me. And I have overcome the world because of Jesus giving me that authority.
Amen.
You see, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Right.
But anyway, amen. Jesus wants to do great things for all of you. And
yes.
I just want to encourage you. And let me just pray for all of you, and then I'm going to just get up and maybe...
Is it anyone else? Is there anyone else here before he prays generally?
Okay, I'm going to give it to Dawn after I pray. Father, she didn't know I was going to give it to her. Now she's got to fix herself up. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch their hearts.
Thank you, Father God.
Let them understand the righteous cry out that to love you with all their heart, their life will change. Their families will change.
Mm-hmm.
Co-workers will want it. They'll want what they have. Heavenly Father, your healing by the authority that's given us through the name and blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Father God.
Give them favor and flood their hearts with your presence. Flood their bodies with your healing. In Jesus' name, I say bodies be healed. Your living favor in their life.
Yes, Father God.
The desires of their heart to come to life from this moment on. And I speak to every sickness, the light of love of God is flowing through them.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot survive that. In Jesus'
right.
name.
Thank you, Father.
Got to go. Amen.
Amen. Amen.